here but Mary.
You guys get them first. Yeah.
There's 10. There's actually enough for everybody. There should be 10.
Bring them back.
Well, no, if it comes around, yeah. Okay. Don't worry.
Alright.
Are you guys compliant?
Is that it?
Everything was posted and everything?
Fishy.
Yes. I'm sorry.
No. Oh, this is it? He's only got this far.
You got any more?
He's only got this far.
Nutrition.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
What was it?
Hold on. Oh, wait. The nutrition program.
I'm sorry. I didn't get them all. They're right there.
That's two more.
And the rest of them. My
maybe apologies. Just you want to go that way.
Sorry. I was a little frazzled this morning.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
Wait, the computer decided to update. So I woke up this morning to it still updating. I'm like, what is going on?
Everybody's got everything?
Yeah. All right. All right. Approval of the agenda.
I move to approve as written.
All right. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Who seconded?
Arnold.
Thank you.
Everybody got their name jacks. I'm doing good now.
Yeah.
All righty. Approval of the minutes. Anybody have any questions? I do have a question on the first part of the minutes. It says Chair Joe Breyer or Breyer.
Oh, okay.
Instead of Vice Chair.
Vice Chair.
I wasn't sure if I automatically become chair for somebody here or how that worked. So.
Yeah, we just threw you in.
I looked at it, I was like,
welcome aboard.
I got changed somehow. I'm not sure what happened there. Other than that, I'm good. Anybody else? We have an approval?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Dave?
I'll second it.
And Vicky. I'm sorry. I really would forget my name someday. So. All right. Public comments. Anybody here? Anybody here? Okay.
Share the letter.
You can.
Get the letter?
Yeah. Probably be appropriate.
So we received a letter from the Iowa County Administrator. Regarding our discontinuation of meals in Iowa County. Actually, we didn't receive it. Bob did. It says, on March 7th at the County's Health and Human Services Committee, it was explained to us that the relationship between Grant County and Iowa County as it relates to serving meals to Iowa County seniors will be changing in the future. I just got this last night from Bob, so that's why you don't have a copy or anything. Before Grant County decides to move forward with the implementation of these changes, we would appreciate the opportunity to discuss how much the partnership we have with Grant County means to us. We would also appreciate the opportunity to discuss what concerns Grant County may have and be given the opportunity to fix what is considered broken in the way things used to occur. Would you and the proper parties at Grant County be willing to establish a meeting to discuss what has happened and what you are proposing occur before implementing these changes? If you're willing to discuss this with us, please call the county administrator and he can work out a meeting date time on our behalf. And it was signed by John Myers, the county board chair, and Larry Berkey, the county administrator.
So I received a call last week from Larry. Told me about the letter that would be coming. And he says, well, if money's the only issue, we could make you whole. And I said, I think we've had that discussion, and I don't think it's went well. And I said, money is probably not the only issue. It's a time factor as well, mileage and everything else. And so I don't know how much more Lori wants to go into, but I think we've discussed this enough that we should stand firm that we do not want to help the Sun program.
Yeah, my feeling is you know, we have sites in Grant County that we can't serve right now. We don't get to Glen Haven, we don't get to Bloomington, we don't get to Mount Hope, we don't get to lots of places with our home delivered yet. We're still trying to figure out ways of doing that. So I'm not quite sure, you know, why I need to be involved in another county. I did pull up some email, and I started this process back in 2015, talking about the fact then that we had 78 meals. At that time, we were doing a month, and the rate was $3.40 a meal. Wasn't even close to our, at that time, our cost per meal was $10.05. and we were getting $340. Plus, we're providing delivery from Platteville to them. And part of my discussion with this was as well, it was always done and before I came here that they would drop off in Ruby, and I said we weren't going to leave Grant County. I wanted something either Montfort, Livingston, Arthur. She felt that was a little out of her way for her and wanted to change that as well.
I think it'd be good to note for the record that although ADRC is regional, the SUN program is county.
Nutrition program.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
So yes, it is an aging program. It is by county.
County driven. They, as it would be easy enough to do, would overlap sometimes. You think it's all under the ADRC, but it's not. And I think that's the big component here. We are ADRC regionalized, and if it was an ADRC program, maybe we'd have a reason to talk, but this is simply a county by county program that we have, you know. Our mistake was having, in my opinion, is having started the whole program to begin with. We had no business being involved with Iowa County in this area whenever whoever decided to do it to begin with. And just because we were stupid then doesn't mean that we need to continue to make mistakes and continue to be stupid about how we operate our programs now. I mean, that's for my piece, I'd like that to be on the record. And that's real.
Tom Snyder.
You can change stupid to whatever you want.
Tom Slaney, the Health and Human Services Director, did call me on Monday, and he did tell me that he had misspoke because it did come up from one of the things that ADRC shouldn't be worrying about county lines. We're supposed to, you know, we're regional. And he said, I wasn't thinking at that time. He said, I did agree with that. He said, I wasn't thinking at the time that it was an aging program and that is strictly by county. So he wanted to give me a heads up. I said, well, I kind of already had a heads up on it. But and then we talked a little bit. One of the things when I talked to the ADRC director over there, because they attend the SUN program meetings too. Health and Human Services of Iowa County actually, I think, kind of contracts with SUN. So SUN's kind of independent, but the nutrition money comes to the county, so then the county contracts with SUN. And SUN does meals in Iowa and Lafayette. And so one of the things that they had made me aware of was that they over-order meals for Highland because they don't have enough participants, but they have to order them certain number of meals. Well, Highland to Avoca is 11 miles. Muscadet to Avoca is 10. So it's not a huge difference. So at that point, I said to Tom, you know, the suggestion that I had heard was to divert some of those Highland meals to Avoca. And he said yes, and he said he had made that suggestion as well. He said, but she doesn't have a volunteer driver that's willing to go to Highland in the winter. And my response was... My response was, so this is my problem? I mean, and quite frankly, you know, we gave quite a bit of ample time, I think. I think you need to find a volunteer driver or something else. I guess my biggest point is that between the two of us, Ruth and I, we've probably got about, Ruth is half-time for nutrition, and I've got about 600 hours in nutrition. This SUN program has a full-time nutrition director, full-time being, I think, 35, maybe 36 hours, and an assistant. And that's all they do is nutrition. If you look around, I have a few more things going on than just nutrition. So.
So do we need some kind of motion to hold our ground or to... give them a certain response, or what
well, I don't know that you can
action here.
Really take action on a public comment. So,
yeah. And
just
I mean,
some direction, just for Lori and I.
You did take action on what we were doing, and
right.
That was giving them
right.
a 4 to 6 month leap, heads up
yeah.
that we were going to pull out. So,
there, I guess the only thing maybe take action would be their request to have a meeting, and there's really nothing to talk about that I'm aware of.
Well,
it's non-negotiable. My estimation,
I agree with you.
So
it just says if you are willing to discuss.
Yeah.
So I think Lori and I just get together, draft a letter with stating a few facts and send it back to them so that they understand what's been told to them before. Because I don't think she's communicating on their, on her end.
I know Tom was not under the impression. Tom thought they were paying full price, and I said, no, it went from $340 to $775, but our full cost of meals is still $925. You know, and we did give them a little bit of break because of a few things, but, you know, I think Ruth will tell you that there is still, it's time-consuming. She still is taking phone calls on that. Courtney has to do a separate billing for Sun. So, it we still have a lot of administration costs. Okay, so...
So that's what we'll do. Yeah. I think we'll just get together. And we'll
I think the other issue, because Tom brought it up as well, is, you know, that we have also talked about pulling the taxi out. So, and there again, they have the ability. So I reminded him, as I had reminded him in 2016, that they have the ability of letting the DOT know that they can apply for, that they have an intent to apply for a 5311 grant for a taxi program themselves. There again, the taxi program runs good until I need a driver or I need a sub, which we had happen this year. So then I've got to find a driver from Grant County willing to drive over to Dodge. And it's been kind of a problem. So
is there a thought on a sunset date on the taxi then?
We did tell them after that we would provide services through this year and that we would not likely after that. That was actually discussed at this board meeting too. So, and I do think there's a good, I mean, there's a, Phil has indicated that he hasn't said anything yet, our driver, but he is indicating that he's probably, you know, at some point going to retire as well. So, so yeah, we had given them that that we likely would not be applying in the future for it. And I need to do a little bit more work on that with DOT. I talked to DOT originally, and they didn't think it was going to change our grant, but I really want to kind of do the math on that and make sure. But again, like I said, it runs great. I don't discount that they don't need a taxi or it works well there. It does, but... You know, when I lose a taxi driver, then it's a real struggle to find somebody, and then I'm trying to find a sub, and it's in Dodgeville, and it's just, it's not, I mean, I have enough trouble when my Boscobel driver is, you know, not there, so it's just kind of an extra added thing that I don't know that I need to do.
You gotta keep our house running well.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Advocacy reports or activities? Regional board meeting report?
Did we have one?
We had one January 25th.
Okay. I can't even remember when the last one was. So.
Mainly talked about getting Senator Mark Klein to come to, for instance, the regional board meeting and to go to some different
agencies, the departments,
and
too, right?
Maybe even businesses, and just kind of really spreading them out to see what really we're all about and what we need and that kind of thing. And I think Mary was going to draft a letter and get that sent out.
Right, Howard had been doing some, Howard Parkland had been doing some, like, job shadowing in different places. He was interested in just kind of finding out what, so there was talk about having him, like, shadow it in an ADRC so that he could understand what we do here. He's been very supportive of ADRCs, I will
Making
say.
Making him realize, you know, this connects to this and that and this. And then just talking about the radio ads have been good and the billboards are out and people are seeing all those. And also talked about just getting the word out more than anything, and then each of them, how busy everybody is, because every county has something going on big right now, kind of.
Just a busy time. Have yeah. people seen our billboards? Have you?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, that was about it.
Thank you.
Also, our Dimensional Alliance workshop.
Okay. Coming up tomorrow already. It just seems like that is, I think they've got about 130 people or thereabouts signed
there.
Up
yep.
to go. So I am not able to attend it, but it should be a very good workshop. It usually is, and we usually have good attendance at it. So that's tomorrow. If you're still interested, let us know today, and we might still be able to get you in tomorrow. So.
And then for the nutrition planning program, or program planning, you have the flyer in front of you or the handout. It's just a quick summary of where everything stands. If you go to the third slide on the first page, it gives you the process as a whole. We're
I swear you like to test my vision, don't you?
Well, I didn't have that much paper, so. And it was at 2 o'clock in the morning after I got stuff done. So we're more than halfway done. We're actually working on the detailed objectives and the rough cost estimates and team planning and stuff like that. I did start putting together a tentative roadmap just based on what we have in the detailed objectives, and we'll get that a little bit later. But that just shows you that we're actively finishing up the process. We just have to be able to meet the last couple times. Team members are on the third slide, or the fourth slide, sorry. The vision is the same vision that I read off to the group in January. There's been no changes there. The long-term mission is the same, as well as the short-term mission. They're just here for your information. On slide 8, these are the actual high-level objectives that the program is moving forward with, and we will be looking at detailed projects or efforts to help accomplish each one of these high-level objectives. And that's the part that we're finishing up right now. A quick snapshot of what we have on the next slide for the detailed objectives just gives you the frozen meal process, volunteer recruitment process, and the like down there. We do have a very strong resource restraint. So even as we're adding more detailed objectives to accomplish these things, it has been a struggle to figure out who would lead them and what teams we might put on there. We will come back and revisit that and at least understand who might be responsible for them when we're able to get to them. But understand that could take the timeline for what we would like to accomplish pretty far out there, unless we're able to, somehow get volunteers or something to help fill in the resource needs. The next one just gives you a snapshot of what the roadmap is going to start looking like. This has all the detailed objectives that we've identified so far and who's going to run them on it. You'll notice that they're just kind of floating off there to the right-hand side. That's because we haven't hit the dependencies part yet. And then you'll start seeing that look like an actual roadmap with what's going to be dependent on what once we get the last couple of meetings finished off. Planning issues as far as getting through this whole process. People being pulled out of meetings with something that happens. Actually, that actually hasn't happened yet. We identified it as a possible issue, but it hasn't happened.
No.
The duration is open-ended, meaning we don't have a set time because of everybody being volunteers. So that could, right now, it's pushed us out, 5-6 weeks?
Yeah.
A couple of people took vacations. That pushed us out a month.
Needed a vacation, Joel.
You're ready for the time change.
Yeah. And there you go.
I need another vacation.
An ongoing planning risk that we're basically just accepting is absence due to weather, which we actually had last week. Emergencies, I don't have in their health, but I've had to miss a couple meetings for my own health reasons. We're plugging along. We don't have any future scheduled meetings that Laura and I will talk about.
But we will.
We'll talk about that after this meeting and get a plan of action going for that so that we can wrap this up and get the first project started. Especially over the next couple of months, I'd really like to at least get a good start on the first project which is going to likely involve a process blitz, so that we can map out that process and
lean
and get people,
yeah,
at least introduced to the concept of how this is, can work and continual improvement moving forward. And then I have a slide here for any questions that anybody has. Anybody?
Well, Joe, maybe again, a broken record comment from me as we would go through these, and again, looking at some of those rural areas, especially that don't have meal sites, don't need to have meal sites, but if there's existing block and mortar facilities that serve meals that are, and they all are certified, licensed, state approved, state inspected, yada 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 down the line, if whatever work, again, they're with the idea of offering the socialization and those kind of things as well, that if they could ever be incorporated, or where they could be incorporated, maybe.
And the overall program, you mean?
Yeah, understanding. Yeah. It wouldn't be for everybody, but
sure. There
might be instances where there's already a block and mortar building that's got everything we need. It's called a restaurant, pub, or bar, maybe, but at least it's there. And
yeah,
maybe that, is that something we could tap into and use instead of reinventing the wheel? Or
talked about voucher system for how many years?
And they're still not approved yet, but yeah.
But it would sure work.
Yeah.
Yep. And we haven't gotten to all the details, but I do recall that being talked about actually very strongly, as well as any places that are set up, that are set up, that aren't necessarily being utilized very well in order to necessarily, well, possibly close those down to make resources available for more people in the area, whether they be at home and not able to make it into those areas or not. So that has been talked about quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We definitely don't want to reinvent the wheel. We don't have the resources to do that. And then the very last slide is just an appendix. It's the snapshot of the actual purpose of the nutrition program. We did use this as a guide at the very beginning of the process to come up with our overall vision, mission, and high-level objectives. It's just there as reference, so people don't forget that we did reference that going through the process itself. Okay?
Okay.
All right, that's all I have then.
Great, thank you, and thank you. He has been very instrumental in keeping us all on task, hasn't he, Greg?
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of expertise, much more. We sometimes look at him like, okay, we don't know what you're talking about, so dial it down a little bit.
Sorry.
Nope, it's just fine. You've been doing
there's
a great
job.
There's
also sometimes where I'm a little spacey in there, so.
No.
I think so. Then the ADRC program reports. Are you not expecting that? Oh, you don't have it on there. You updated it again, didn't you?
No. Where are you at?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I would like to be that part of that agenda, but we got a little more
part
to go through.
See what I say about being spacey?
Well,
I'll make
that's
a motion
okay,
to adjourn.
There you go.
That's
for
our next item.
I just realized I don't have one, so I'm going to have to get a copy.
So that was about your heads up. I did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Aging Advocacy Day.
So they have scheduled the Aging Advocacy Day. They had it, I think this is the third one that they have. And, of course, they scheduled it on a board meeting day. I think it's a board meeting day for us if I looked at it right. Basically what they've done is, like the aging programs, ADRCs across the state have been, you know, going to legislators' offices, trying to make people aware of aging issues, bringing some people in. So it is something we did participate in last year. It went over, you know, pretty well. They are doing the big event again this year. So my question to you is, do we want to do the May meeting at a different time or skip the May meeting so that we can attend this? What's your thoughts? We have been, the county board has kind of directed us to try to do less meetings in a year than, you know, if we don't need a meeting, we absolutely don't have to have one. However, It is the May is the last meeting, I think, for Steve and Mary Lou, so, and you.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Oh, no.
So you've made some.
We set a mover already.
Okay.
We don't have the final address yet, but that should, we expect that to be.
Okay, well, that was news to me today, because I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, do we want to try to hold the May meeting just on a different date? Skip the April meeting? Because I think we probably can skip the April meeting. I loaded this one pretty heavily.
The only thing that I would request is that we make sure that we have a way to get the final plan for the nutrition program approved. Whether it be sending it out and getting an email back saying I approve, if that's okay with everybody. I don't know how everybody's contact information is, but if you do have an email or a way to approve it remotely, that'd be fine. That helps us move along a lot faster. Mm-hmm. Like I said before, I'd like to get into that first project as soon as possible so that we have that started before I
potentially do that in April, maybe. Or do you want to hold an April meeting and not hold the May meeting? What's your choice?
I'm a short time, right?
It's up to you. As long as we have a way to approve it, it's up to you guys.
I mean, I do feel like it's important to be represented at the Aging Advocacy Day. It's certainly, there's usually, you know, like I said, most of the agencies around the state are represented. You know, we took people, we met with Mark Wine, we met with Trannell. There was also some training on advocacy issues and things like that. So
why don't we go ahead and I would suggest holding in April and maybe not holding in May. And that way there's not a double requirement in May. And then that also means one less meeting I have to attend before I move. While I'm trying to pack.
All right. Let me look at that.
Yep.
Because I'll see what we have on for agenda items and things like that, and then I'll let you know if there's an issue with that as well. And we may have to revisit it, but
I've got to
look at the timing
of
things to make sure that works.
Or take questions, we can do
sure.
That.
Sure. All right. Does that sound okay with everybody?
Yeah.
And if anybody's interested in going to the Advocacy Day, let me know. I will. Last year we did we worked with Green County and we took a bus from Verona in so that not everybody had to drive in by the Capitol because it's always so crowded up there. So we will look at that too.
Okay. The aging plan assessment.
Yes, it is, and I apologize for not getting that out ahead of time. I literally had to kind of complete it over the weekend. The aging plan is a 3-year plan that the state requires us to do. We have a lot of things to do, and then they require this little plan that has some goals in it as well. And then we do an assessment on it. So it is through the 2018. This is the second year in the plan. So I just printed out. Some of these goals come from the state. Some of them are just local goals, and then some are negotiated goals between us and the state. So, for the most part, I think we're on track. We had some challenges because we didn't have some staffing. So I will just, and I apologize again. So I'm going to go through this very quickly, but it does go to the state, and then they have to approve it as well. So as far as the ADRC committee members being an advocate, you guys all filled out surveys for me. You indicated that you'd gotten information on public policy changes or other issues. I do try to bring those to you. The state wanted 100% of you to indicate that they took that they contacted a legislator. 3 of you did. So, I think it's just important when you're first coming on the board. You don't really know that much about the aging issues. The last couple years have been kind of a strange, we don't know what's happening a lot. So it's always kind of like, well, this might happen, but we don't know. So we haven't, I think, had some real hands-on, action items to deal with. So the strategic plan, Again, this was kind of crafted a little bit by the state. So I did put, while our timeline is off, we're continuing to move forward, and I think actually we'll meet our 2018, so we're a little off on 17, but Joe's kind of, he's got a lot more expertise in this, so we're taking a little different path than what the state thought we were going to, and I think actually it'll be better. So, you know, we've met with the Nutrition Advisory Council to get some more information from them. Depending on these process things that we do, we'll be looking at some of getting more information if we need it from consumers, that's in staffing or whoever it is. So I think we're going to be very much on target in 2018, and actually, you know, we're just a little off on 2017 because we're running into 2018, but we're still moving forward, so I think that wouldn't be an issue. Powerful tools, caregivers is a goal. A goal is always to offer powerful tools for caregivers class. We did do it in collaboration with Crawford County because it requires two facilitators, and Crawford County did not have another one, so they asked if we would be willing to collaborate with them so they could hold the class. And since we, obviously, we border Crawford, it worked out for us as well. So we were able to actually provide some resources to people in that northern half of the county that sometimes we don't get. Then we also offered a caregiver renewal day, which is for a lot of our caregivers that attend our support groups. We also did that in collaboration with Iowa County and Lafayette County, although the majority of caregivers that came were from Grant County, which is usually the case. But we had Dr. Mark Rubel, who is a psychologist, speak about just being mindful as a caregiver and taking care of yourself and all those things we tell caregivers all the time that they don't do. You know, one of the other goals that we had was to contact some major employers. So we did contact Bemis, American Customer Care, Rayovac, and Walmart, because they have a lot of employees that are caregivers that are taking care of somebody at home and that they're not aware of. So American Call Center is what I wrote, American Customer Care. I don't know where that came from. Actually requested that we do a presentation. So Ruth is going to be out there doing a presentation. We're hoping to maybe to get into the other three businesses. They've requested more just some resource materials, but we're hoping maybe if we provide those, we can do something in 2018. To get in there and just talk to some of their employees as well. Providing dementia-capable services to county employees, helping them become more dementia-friendly. I apologize, I don't have real clear information on this because Whitney had provided some of the training to our county offices, but I can't locate the times and dates. So I have a couple. So this one is sort of open-ended. She did train our office. I know she worked with the health department, social services, and I know she did some individual county employees at the admin building. However, I've got to call into Dawn to see if she's got some dates because Danica at the regional office hasn't been able to find me that. So I know it was done. I just don't have the records of it, and I'm not comfortable really with that until I have the record of it, but I do know that she took care of it. So she actually did it early before the goal was even. The goal was that we did it in 2017, and she actually started it back in 2016. It just worked with her schedule that way. In the other one, the prevention goals, again, are things that are coming. Prevention, we get a very small amount of money for prevention. Prevention is being encouraged, but there's really no money available, and it's very time-intensive. We have to offer evidence-based programming. Our problem is getting staff. We had a staff person trained a couple years ago. She resigned. Getting another staff person trained has been an issue. We had Nicole ready to go last year, and then they canceled the workshop. The training programs that they have are like 3 and 4 day programs, and they've been in Eau Claire, Wausau. They're not very friendly for staff to attend, especially staff with young children, which is what I tend to have. So that's been an issue. Mary Lou has been trained in it and has been a volunteer for the ADRC doing it for a long time. Grant Regional has also train somebody in theirs. So we've been using them to offer the stepping on class, which we had. They also offered a living well class with diabetes, but they did not get the numbers enough. You have to, the state requires that it be, you have to have, I think, at least 10 participants in order to hold a class, and they didn't have enough. So once we get somebody trained, we're going to try to offer that in the northern south, but it's just been an issue. So one of the things we talked about was working with the two hospitals, and I did, I had met with, oh, his name's just going to escape me now, Eric Schwann? I didn't think that was right. We had talked about, they have offered us some facilities in the past for some prevention training, and they're willing to do that. I was hoping that they might be able to provide some staffing, like if they would train one facilitator similar to Grant Regional. And Eric was, you know, was open to it, but since we didn't have anybody trained yet and the trainings weren't convenient, that sort of has stalled out. I did not meet with Southwest Health Center for that very reason. If I can't offer my own staff person trained, I just feel like we can't move forward with that yet. So I'm hoping that once we get somebody trained in 2018, if I can, that we'll pursue that again. Eric has since left, but they have a new marketing person in there, and I think they'll be, it's a good marketing for the hospitals, so I don't think they'll be against it. But the staffing part of it is what I'd really like to see happen, because if we don't have a dedicated staff person there and you're just trying to rely on volunteers, it's pretty intensive. It's a 6-week class that they have to commit to. So that's where we're at with that. And then the last one was to train our volunteer drivers in a dementia to be more dementia friendly, and we took care of that in January. So for the most part, I would say, you know, we did pretty well. We've got a few things that we need to work on, but I think we'll be able to resolve those in 2018 and meet all of our goals for the plan. The other thing I did put, they always ask for some other things that we've done locally. And one of the things that I want to point out, because it seems to happen here, is that, you know, we did set up some temporary offices to aid the older flood victims in Caspel this past year, too. And that was fairly time-consuming, and we worked with them as well. And then, of course, we always do Elder Fest, which is, you know, one of the most popular senior health fairs in the state. And we had over 300 participants attend that. And then we did interview over 200 people about issues related to aging. The state has been notified from the feds that they have to do a better job in getting the needs of the state analyzed and hearing from local people. So, of course, that means that they come to us and say, you need to do a better job of, you know, getting to people. So one of the things that we had done at the Senior Health Fair was set up the Plinko game, and if they answered some of our questions, then you got a prize. So, and that was really very popular, so it worked really well. We are also going to put out some surveys, and I will probably send some of those out to you and maybe see if you can get a couple people to fill them out as well, just on what are the aging issues and what are maybe the gaps in services for Grant County. So that's where we're sitting with that. Any questions on that? I apologize for not getting it out to you sooner. I know that's kind of a bit of an overview, but...
So is this sheet... Just the 2017 goals? Then?
Yes.
And then the review of what happened with those goals?
Yes, yes. The 2016's ones were reviewed
last year. And then the 2018 goals?
Yeah. The reason I didn't print everything, I had it all ready to go, and then I just thought it looked like an awful lot for you guys to look at in one sitting, so that's why I just pulled out the 2017. So I would be happy to share the whole thing with you if you want to see it, but I just thought it looked a little much for today's meeting since we have a pretty full agenda. So any questions on it? We do need approval because the state does want to see that.
I'll make the motion.
So thank you.
Second?
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
All right. The annual report, I forgot, so... Thank you to Courtney for running out and doing that. Again, we put it on here, but Courtney was still working on it when I put it on, so I kind of forced her to. I should have waited. We did not need to have it on this agenda, but when we're doing this every other month, I'm trying to make sure that we're getting stuff on. So again, that's why it wasn't sent out ahead of time, because it was. So if you want to take this, it doesn't require your approval or anything at this point. If you want to take it and look at it, we can discuss it at the May or at the April meeting. Or you can take a look at it now. It's whatever is your pleasure.
Anybody want to review it now and ask questions? I think that's a yes. Do I need an electronic copy, Sam?
Yeah, I can email you.
Thank you.
Transportation, obviously, we had a decrease in the number of rides this year, and obviously, you know, we lost our bus driver, and he was very ill for a while there, so you will definitely see an increase in rides. I think once now that we've got a bus driver back on board, Specialized has increased a lot, and that is our wheelchair van. And the volunteer driver program is always popular. We did have a slight increase in rides there as well.
Did funding stay pretty much the same?
Yes. Yeah, there hasn't. I think it was... We got a slight increase in transportation last year. I think it was, last year's was $121,590, and I think, maybe we had a slight decrease. I think this year it's $124,125, so it varies in that $121,000 to $125,000. And that's for bus, taxi, and volunteer driver program and the specialized.
Lori, does the pickup point and delivery points, are they identified in terms of the buses and the like?
We're working on that because with the new, we had some, you know, old routes that we were just kind of recycling. So now with Kevin, we're looking at determining some different routes, seeing what's needed.
Do they base off of mostly where there's a nursing home?
Basically, it's very few. We don't have really nursing home riders that ride the bus. It's mostly people that are still independent at home, but don't drive for the most part. But like Mariah had just said to me the other day, we've got a little group in Bloomington now that's kind of interested that we've never had before. So we're trying to figure out how we can maybe do a route out that way, either. Typically what we've done is like a north route, a south route, and a Platteville route. So we've always had a Muscadet, Blue River, Boscobel. They might go to Platteville or they might go to Prairie. Then we've had a southern route that's kind of like Hazel Green, Cuba City, Potosi. Typically they go to Platteville. Then Platteville one day has just a Platteville route. Then we've had a few that... Once a month they go to Cassville to the meal site, or once a month they go somewhere else. So we're kind of looking at those. I'm trying to shorten up the routes a little bit. I felt for a long time the routes were incredibly long, and people were getting on the bus at 8 o'clock in the morning and not getting home till 5:30. We're trying to look at how we can maybe do a little bit shorter, but get everybody where they need to be. Platteville is by far the most popular town to go to because It's got, you know, the dollar store, and it's got Walmart, and it's got Menards, and it's got, so it is by far where a lot of them like to go.
Is there room on the bus for 2x4s?
Let me tell you, I have loaded various things on that bus. The bus got stuck at Menards the last time we had a bus trouble. It was at Menards, and I had to help passengers, and I'm like, what did you people buy? I mean, it was crazy. They load up pretty good some days, so so it's interesting. But we're trying to figure out, Dan, really, what's the best way to serve such a big county with one bus driver? Because in the past we've had a couple bus drivers, but we're trying to look at.
Is it at all weather related? I mean, in the winter time, do people use it as much as they do?
You know,
mm-hmm. It is.
I've got a lady that was just in here a couple of weeks ago, and she said, when is the bus going to go? Because we've had, we had some delay because we lost Alex and had to thank you guys for being here. When's the bus going to go? And she's going to be 99.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she said, I've been riding the bus for 27 years, I think. Oh. And she said, do you know? I said, I don't, but I said, I can try to find out. And she said, well, I think it's been 27 years. And I said, well, you know, we should get your picture in the paper for that. And I said, if you, could we take your picture and put it in the paper? And she said, well, I guess you could. And then she called me back and said, I apologize. It was not 27 years. It was 24 years.
Well.
Yeah. So I'm going to make her wait another year.
Yeah. No.
So we have had a very, we've had a, like a 90 plus group that have been riding. Now we've obviously lost a couple of them. Bob's grandmother being one of them. We have to kind of take a look at who we're serving and how to best get them where they need to go, and it's real tricky. And then we want to attract others. So I know Mariah's been kind of working on routes. In the past, a lot of it was kind of set up to support meal sites. You know, it increases your numbers at a meal site once a month, but I'm not sure that that's the intent either of the transportation funding, is to subsidize the meal sites and make them look good. So I struggle with that a little bit. If people really want to go to Cassville, that's great. In the summertime, sometimes they do, because the meal site is right down there by the river, and it's pretty and whatever. It's a pretty drive. But in the middle of winter, do you really want to drive to Cassville?
Yeah, the trains.
So, but we're going to be working on those routes and seeing what we can come up with. The other thing that we want to do is try to figure out some special trips. They do enjoy, like, they do a trip to the orchards every year, and that is by far a trip that they love to do.
Yeah. Yep.
They usually try to do a trip to the lights, see the lights. And again, just some of those that they wouldn't have the ability to get out and do on their own. So we'll try to come up with a few of those too. But it's tricky, and you've got a wide variety of people and abilities to get on and off and do things. But for the most part, they need to get to Walmart, they need to get to Walgreens, they need to get to some of these places, and they just really like getting out. So, yes.
Do you have good luck with the volunteer people for, taking people?
For drivers? Drivers. We have a really good core group of drivers. Okay. We can use more.
Can you?
Because we always have requests for that. Mm-hmm. Because there isn't any other services out here for that. You know, there isn't any, the transport services that you would need are so expensive. So people can't afford that. So they're always looking. Madison's gotten so congestive, and all of their changes and roundabouts up there, people don't like to drive there. And even Dubuque anymore, people, it's so congested. We just have a lot of people that they might still be driving locally, but they don't want to drive in those, in Dubuque or La Crosse or Madison. And that's, of course, where out here you end up going when you want to see specialists and things. So,
CDLs? Is it a big bus?
Kevin does have a CDL. We were really lucky. We hired him as a food van driver, and he happened to get his CDL in that time period. So we've made some shifts, and he's going to be our bus driver.
But the volunteers?
The volunteers no. do not need a CDL. No, they use their own vehicle, actually.
Okay.
So mostly what we want to do is just provide them with some training, especially if they're dealing with people with dementia or things like that. But our volunteers are so good. I mean, we have some that have taken people, you know, religiously for dialysis 3 times a week in all sorts of weather, because you can't always, you can't just stop dialysis. You know, we have some that I think have just gotten to know the participants over the years. They have a favorite driver because that's, you know, they're very comfortable with them. But, you know, they take them up to Madison, and, you know, lots of times they're sitting around for 2 to 3 hours waiting for them to be done and then driving them back. So, and they don't get anything for the time. Their only payment is the IRS rate for the mileage. So, so yeah, they do a wonderful job. And Mariah does a wonderful job coordinating all that and getting the billing done and things like that. So I'm very impressed. I mean, we've literally got drivers on the road every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty incredible. And, you know, and same with our Meals on Wheels drivers. They are doing a great job as well. I mean, they're out there in all sorts of weather delivering meals. So, again, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing what people will do. I always think, you know, I'm not sure that I would do that, you know. So it's nice that they do. We are seeing, let's see, I think we did see a little decrease in meals this past year. And part of that is, it's not all bad when I say that. Part of it is for a long time in our home delivered meals, to be eligible, you have to be homebound. You have to meet certain criteria. And we had some people that would qualify that for like a short time because they had surgery on their arm, like Dan, or they, you know, couldn't cook a meal or something like that. Well, it's very time consuming to keep up with that, and we weren't really tracking that. And so what we found was people were like, well, this is very convenient for me to get a meal delivered and not just going to keep on doing it, you know, because why not? It's, you know, and so we found that a lot of people were staying on long past their, the time frame that they should have. So Ruth has really kind of, she developed a tracking system for that now and is really monitoring that a little bit more and calling people after four weeks and saying, you know, what's the status? You know, if they need more time, that's fine. But if they don't, then we're taking them off that home delivered because the congregate is still available to them. And we can't just do it. We can't have our volunteers out there just because it's convenient when somebody's not truly homebound. So. And the other thing is we are seeing, we've seen a huge increase in managed care organizations. Now we're seeing them back off on that this year. So the managed care organizations have been purchasing meals from members, but now we're having kind of a backlash where we're seeing them say, well, now you no longer qualify for meals. And then we've got participants calling in very upset that they are no longer qualifying for those meals and still requesting those meals, which we can't really deny, which puts us in kind of a bind.
Mm-hmm.
So we have actually... I had a conversation with Gary Branham, who sits on Inclusive's board, about this, and we've also had on a state call the other day, Ruth and I brought it up as well, that it's a little bit of a problem, because I don't know that the managed care organizations are looking at it from a nutritional point of view. They're looking at it from a money point of view, how much it's cost.
That's why I was wondering if that's what it was, financial.
Yeah. So I think we're going to see some up and down on that. But again, I mean, some of it is just better tracking on our systems and getting people off when they shouldn't be on. So
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When the food is delivered to the sites, is it by state it has to be a certain temperature?
Yes.
Okay, and the reason I had a complaint, that's why, and I'm sure you know where it is, Blue River.
Yep.
We play cards up there every Thursday at that, and she got a hold of me, and first thing she said is when is the group going to come visit us and have lunch with us, you know? And then she said, you know, when the food comes to us, she said, it's not at temperature. It sounds like they just have one home delivery. Is that correct?
I think they are down to that now.
And she said, and that one is not at right temperature. She wanted one of those things to keep a meal hot, whatever that
she
is.
She has some things.
Oh, okay. And I said, I will bring it up at the next meeting. So I did.
Ruth is very aware of that, and will be out there to determine that, because the food that gets delivered to Muscadet is at the right temperature, but the food that's getting to Blue River is somehow not at the right temperature.
Okay,
so we think we may have some calibration issues. A couple other things there might be going on.
I'm aware of that.
Yeah, but they do have to temp them. They do have to temp them. So when the Platteville, when we deliver food from Platteville to Montfort, the first thing the meal site manager has to do when she gets there is temp those meals, see what they're at. They have to. They're supposed to be maintained at a certain temp.
Sure.
And then get them into either the steam table or the oven and keep them at a certain temp.
Right.
I think there are issues there that I'm not sure that they're
sure there is.
She's very, very conscientious of that, and that's very good, because food safety is an issue for us, and we want to make sure, you know.
Every Thursday when we go up, of course, it's right at noon, so they're eating. So I always sit down with them every Thursday. I don't eat with them, but we sit there and we visit, you know, and I guess they kind of like that. But.
And that might be something for the April meeting. If we do that, we could look at possibly having it somewhere. I mean, we do try to do that one or two times a year to try to visit a site.
Well, it wasn't all that long ago. Remember, we were going to go... every place, each meeting we were going to eat at a different place. I think we did Lancaster, and that was it.
I think that's unrealistic for having people
drive.
It would be. I think it is.
But it sounded good at the time.
I did. I know when I said that. Thank you for bringing that up. Food safety is not an issue. It is a priority.
The first thing I thought of was,
I know. I knew when I said that, it was like that didn't come out right.
Every now and then I do.
It is a priority.
I do eat with Bosco once in a while, and I would let him know ahead of time just so I can visit with him.
Sure.
You know?
No, and it is. It is tough in the wintertime sometimes to maintain those temps. But Boscobel to Blue River isn't that far. We do have heat safe containers.
Yeah.
So and it makes it to Muscadet, which is, you know, six more miles down the road. So I'm not sure what the issue is.
I did my job.
But Ruth is very aware. Ruth is very aware. She's got it on her agenda, so
do we have any other questions on the annual report? Do we need any kind of action item on
that? No, we don't.
It's just a review?
Nope, it's just a review.
And then the drug test policy update.
Drug test policy update. It requires, again, here's the reason I didn't print this one, because it's 34 pages long. I did not draft it. The state did.
That's a whole tree.
The county has a drug test policy in its handbook. I talked to Joyce. I'm not quite sure why they have one and we have one, but she doesn't really know either. So, but I've been told by the by 5311, the FTA, and the state that we have to have this one, essentially.
Do they pick them randomly out of here?
Yeah, we do a random selection.
State, yeah.
This is a zero tolerance policy. The state did offer two templates. One was a zero tolerance policy. One was a second chance policy. So I called Becky at the state and said, okay, what do most counties go with? Because these are just drivers, so I'm thinking it should be zero tolerance because, you know, if they drove once badly impaired, then I really don't want that. She said she recommended the zero tolerance. The reason that it's being brought back to you guys is there were some changes to it. Mostly it was in where it used to be called, I'm going to get this wrong now, opiates. Now it's opioids. Now it includes hydrocodone, oxycodone, hydromorphone, which I don't even know, and oxymorphone. So they've added it, and then they've added one long one that I can't even, can you pronounce that, Joe?
Wow, MDA.
Amphetamine. I don't know what it is. So they've added, and then PCP was added too. So that essentially they've just added a new category of drugs, and there is, if they would test and have some of these prescription drugs in their system, then we have to get like a doctor's note that not only says that they would be eligible to drive with these drugs in their system, or, which I don't think they would be, but you have to have then further doctor's approval. So,
and these for employees?
Yes. So as far as I can see, those were the big changes to it. I read this Sunday night from cover to cover, and I won't lie to you, I kind of, I think my head nodded off a couple of times.
Can't imagine.
Because it's really not as riveting as you might think it would be.
So say a driver has to have a minor procedure, and they end up having to have, say, codeine or something like that. Are they required to notify you and then not drive for a while?
We would get the test results. We would have to pull them off immediately, yeah.
So they're not
reasonable.
But what if they know ahead of time?
They wouldn't. If they know they're on codeine, they should notify me before they do. Yes, yes. And then they would have to have a, they would, but anytime they're on a prescription drug similar to that, they need to notify me that they'd have to have a, they'd have to have
our employees in the city, they'll get a call in the morning for 2 hours later.
Yeah.
They go get a test, so they don't even know. That's that.
Yeah,
it's that
let me see if I can find that.
No, I'm not talking about the testing itself. I'm talking about
if
something
they
you know
would,
ahead of time,
if they would end up, yes.
I mean, if it's all about board and they just know they shouldn't be driving, what do they do for their job? That's all.
Sure.
Here. The use of any substance which carries a warning label that indicates that mental functioning, motor skills, or judgment may be adversely affected must be reported to a transit provider supervisor, and the employer is required to provide a written release from his or her doctor or pharmacist indicating that the employee can perform his or her safety-sensitive functions. So they have to do that, and in most cases,
Then you'd know ahead of time anyway. And if you didn't know ahead of time, then you got an issue.
Right, exactly, if it showed up on a drug test. So it is a random selection. They'd go into a pool, and then they notify us when they're, you know, when they come up. And then like Steve says, we don't give them any forewarning at all.
The only time they don't have to go, if they're gone, say that somebody's on vacation and they're somewhere, we let them know that, hey, they're not even here.
Yeah.
And then they don't make them come back.
With our drivers, we actually then sometimes have they will sometimes have an alternate that can be pulled if for some reason we can't get the regular driver. But.
And the people that see that, the results, when they are results, always come back. I'm the only one that gets to see those as the mayor of the city. And I look at them, I can say in all the years, 22 years I've been mayor, I've never had one ever test hot yet. But if it did, that's when the zero policy comes into effect right there. They're fired right there on the spot. You know, but that's what we're doing now.
Yeah, and this is alcohol and drug testing as well. Sometimes when they pull them, it's just for drugs. Sometimes it's drug and alcohol. It just depends on the selections. So anyway, but again, the state does require that this be reviewed. Well, this was because of new federal guidelines with the opioids that they required. I about died when I got this, though. I thought, this is a lot. We do have to provide training to all the employees on this. Mariah and I will need to watch a webinar. There is a webinar for employees. We have to record that they've been trained in it. So the good news is I get to go through this one more time, so that will be exciting. So.
So do we need an approval or anything?
We do need an approval, because it does.
Any first?
Yeah, I'll make
Dan.
I'll second it.
Oh, Steve and Dan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you. All right.
Furniture.
Moving right along. Furniture proposal. So, no. I wanted to hold off till maybe May, but I thought.
I bet so.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we have been meeting for the new building on furniture.
How are things going up there?
They are coming along really well, I think. I mean, I think they're on schedule, yeah. We do have a, we were supposed to have a construction meeting at 10 today, but I see Bob was nice enough to move it till noon so I could still be there.
Maybe.
I'm like, great. No, I think they're doing really good, and with the ground warming up, that's been helpful. And as long as we don't get a whole lot of rain, I think we've been pretty good. We only had that really 1 week of really cold temps where
we
didn't
have
work.
Do they have a date when they think the ADRC will be?
You know, there's been some discussion of that. I am not sure that we will get to move in early because I think it's going to be. The whole security system is going to be controlled within dispatch and sheriff's. I'm not sure that that's going to happen. And I don't even know if you can, with the phone systems the way they are, I just don't know that that's going to be. I think they're still kind of looking at it, but I'm just thinking it's not going to happen. So, and there's a 2-month transition for the sheriff's department, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, you want your 911 system working when you get So I'm not sure how that exactly is looking because the locks and things like that on the perimeter doors, I think, are going through dispatch, if I understood that right. They will control some of that. Not that they're letting us in or anything. They'll be fobs. But I'm not sure we can be in there if they're not in there in case there would be issues with the building. Also, you know, I'm not sure... liability-wise, if the building's still being worked on, that an insurance company's going to allow employees to be on site.
You're there, well, then the social services must be there, too, and so you'd have the confusion.
And then you've got participants. So I think it could be an issue. So we did look at, we have been meeting about furniture. There has been many discussions on that. We got, and I'm sorry, I didn't bring the past budgets. We were able to purchase ahead for some things out of ADRC because we had some ADRC funds left. So, and I talked to the state and they allowed us to like get the hearing loop that they're going to require us to have for the new building. So we were able to do that. And these guys know that, but I don't think you were here for that. We were able to get the monitor for the one conference room. We were able to get the two here. Let's see, those hearing loop.
Some chairs.
So we were able to, that was kind of nice. We were able to get ahead. So then we've kind of been going back through this. We had one. We got one and I immediately, we started deleting because that's what I know I need to do. And so we looked at things and took it off. And I don't remember what that one was, but I think I took off about $5,000 at least off of that one. This one came in. And it actually might have been a little more than that. The last one was 46. This one was at 44,000. And I've been kind of going through this. So I kind of talked with staff. And I apologize. Miriam was going to try to get me a quote by this morning, and she didn't. But I think I took off about 10,500 and maybe a little more than that. When we really got looking at it, we had ordered some chairs. We thought we needed some bariatric chairs. But what I found out was the Han chairs are much more sturdier than ones we've had in the past. So they already kind of met. They're like the ones that we ordered for bariatric before. So we're going to use some of our existing bariatric chairs and then just order. So I think we've got enough. We feel now that we need to do two because everybody tends to choose the bariatric chairs over the flimsier chairs. They just like the sturdiness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is we have a lot of bigger people. So they're, you know, it just is the case. So so we can use those chairs, and we have enough for 5 offices. So I had put in an order. So instead of ordering 9 bariatric chairs, I'm looking at ordering, I think I'm just, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So I have enough for 5, so 4. So I think we're ordering 8. No, that can't be right. Oh, it probably is. And then we're getting rid of the guest chairs. So we had like 9 bariatric chairs and 9 guest chairs. So we're eliminating all the guest chairs because we figure we're good with guest chairs. We've got enough. We'll get those bigger chairs and we should be good there. And I've got, you can look at this however you want. So this is what the offices kind of look like, except not the LP. Let me see. Let me pull one. So there's my office, and then the second one is the staff offices.
No $31,000 China?
No. So I have been through this. Bob laughed the other day because he goes, I shamed you into going through it again. And I said, you did a little bit, but not too much. I've really been trying to pare it down as much as I can. But we are looking at, you know, we are looking at desks, and we are looking we've already got the conference room desk and chairs purchased, but that was from ADRC, so that's all done. So we're really just looking at office space. So I think we've pared it down. I don't know that I'm even I don't know that I'm asking for approval because I don't know how this is actually going to work. Do you have concerns about it? I think the board is still trying to figure out. I don't know if there's going to be a furniture budget. We've sort of been moving ahead as if there is one. But I think different things will come into play as we know the building price. You know, if some major things would come up in the building price, that could be a problem. One thing I want to say, and I really want to say it for Dan's benefit, because he's very into building budgets, is when I was doing the transportation annual report the other day, we get some county funding. I'm sorry, we don't get county funding. We get some city funding. And in the past, we have never used that city funding as a match. I mean, we've always put it in as a local match, but we've never offset it for the county match. And it's $6,700. So I got thinking why that couldn't happen that way. So I called DOT and found out it can happen that way. So I've saved $6,700. Nice. So now I'm down to. So I'm down to like 27, Dan.
So what is the city giving money for? What is the city giving?
You give money for the taxi program.
Oh, okay. This is for taxi. Oh,
yeah, and we've never used that. We've always used the city money. Yeah. You know, we always put that in, but then still, the county had a match, and we always put in that full match. Well,
right,
I'm like, well,
yeah.
If we're getting a local match, why can't we combine that with the county?
Sure. Yeah.
And we've never done that. And I think I asked that question a while back to a DOT person, and they told me no. But when I had a further conversation with John Swissler, who's a little more experienced, he's like, if it's not a performance contract, if they're not paying you to do so many rides, you can do it. And I'm like, well, they're not. They're just basically donating because they want to keep the taxi in their city. So we did look at that. So I will pass this around. So we're basically looking at L-shaped desks in the rooms. I do have an extra desk in there, and I'm even debating whether I need that back portion. I mean, I have a lot of manuals, and I have a lot of stuff, I feel like, but I'm not sure that I even need that. I didn't have any guest chairs in mind because I think we can pull in. I tend to like the rolly chairs in my office, and I don't tend to pull too many people into my office. I either take them to a conference room, or unless it's like you guys stopping in or something like that, you might come into my office. But so let's see. So basically, you're looking at an L-shaped desk, the two chairs, the two guest chairs. But the bariatric chairs were $696 a piece.
What's a bariatric chair?
It's a larger size chair for a bigger person.
Most likely.
So, probably bigger than
I weigh more than you think I do.
So they typically, but what I didn't realize with these is that, like, Hans bariatric chairs are almost, in my opinion, they're almost a love seat. They were much larger than I thought. And they're $700 a piece, so I was like, so then I got on the computer and actually did measurements, and the chairs that people like in here, I think, go up to $350, $400. And we typically don't get people much more than that. Because if they are, they're usually oftentimes in a wheelchair or something like that.
Chairs.
What about file cabinets?
The file cabinets are. Most of the offices will have a two lateral, but we do have a lot of them aren't going to be in their rooms like they are now because we've got file storage. So I think we can either use some of our existing.
But you'll have some cabinets. Stuff that you'll need at your fingertips.
Yeah, and they will have like a two drawer lateral and then like a little touch. Sure. So yeah, those are in here too. And I'll pass this around and you can. I had kind of written on this, but you can take a look at it. So I guess I don't know what your feelings are. I don't know whether it requires your approval. I'm sure it will require county board approval at some point.
So then, as far as the budget for the building goes, this is not a line item in that budget?
It was taken out originally, and I think, I think Bob has, and the board has a certain amount that they don't really want to go over for this building, or they're trying. Is that correct in saying, Dan, do you know what, there's kind of a target amount, we're trying to keep the building under a certain amount.
Correct.
So, so that's kind of why they took that out and we're kind of looking at it. Now, the total, I think, well, the Sheriff's Department has their own separate budget and Social Services has their own separate budget.
If we were to approve this here, where would the money come from?
The money will come from, in part, from my saving of $6,700. And I wrote $5,000 into the ADRC budget for equipment. So right there, I've got $11,000, Dan. So I've got it almost covered. A couple bake sales and I'm golden.
Car wash. Car wash.
The money will be. There's money that's been, I don't know how to say it, it would be within the building budget. I think that they would look, the board will take a look at it and then determine if there is within the financing of the building.
So then you would say we need this from here, and then it would go to the supervisor board, and they would say, they need this, we should put it in the budget and add it to the overall building budget.
Pass out of this committee.
Yeah, I would imagine that in that whole budget, there'd be a part in there for appliances, furniture, and stuff that would be built right into it.
Oh, refrigerator I also got ahead of time because our refrigerator died. So I got that out of the
There would be a spot for that. Yeah.
So basically, we would just be asking for an allocation in that one item of the existing budget.
Correct.
So that it's allocated.
Right,
Correct. And I did write $5,000, like I said, into the ADRC budget for this year in terms of equipment or furniture, thinking. That's as much as I could get in there now, but at least knowing full well that we would have some of that need. So we do have $5,000 there. Like I said, I've done little savings over here, so we're getting there.
So is that a current estimate, or you don't have an actual quote yet?
The quote is.
That
but
is the quote.
That's the full price quote. I've got my thing. So I think we're at about 34.
Okay. And then what about miscellaneous things that wouldn't have been thought of yet? Because nobody can think of everything.
No. Those, I think, will have to come out of existing budgets or,
Would that work? I mean, typically, from a practical point of view, you add like 10% to just about any quote to make sure that if there are incidentals you don't know about or taxes or whatever discounts didn't happen that you thought was going to happen.
I think, I don't know if that's built in there. I don't know how that would work.
There's this thing called public property, but I don't know if that's going to be existing after.
See, and I don't think that way because I don't ever use public property.
So I mean, there's going to be microwaves. There's going to be coffee makers. Yeah. There's going to be things that you don't even have in there that all of a sudden are going to pop up. It's going to be 10%.
I got the coffee maker in the last budget. I got the refrigerator in the last budget. And I got and we have the microwave.
Got
so we're both in there. I got all that in the last budget. I got the conference rooms both covered in the last budget. I got the hearing loop for the waiting rooms covered in the last budget.
Pretty good.
So I'd like $14,000 in the last budget that I managed to get covered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. So if we approved something close to this budget as a number, and maybe come back for
I'll bring back the other
for a finalized thing with a buffer in there that we approve here, so that we know that if anything happens, and we know you're constantly trying to pare it down, so that won't be an issue. But if something happens where you're like, oh, we didn't think about this, or this broke while we were still here, now we're going to need a new one when we move there, it would be covered. Would that be something that we could look at approving for next month?
Kind of like a punch list.
Yeah.
Do you need a motion on that, Joe?
I was just going to say.
I'm asking. I don't know.
Let's.
I don't really even need one.
I think
it's
going to happen regardless.
For us to know.
Yeah,
and
I think bring it next week, next month, and then we'll approve something there.
As long, I guess, my
just
feeling
sure
is
buffer is what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Is if you're comfortable with us moving forward with this and trying to, you know, and.
Yeah.
You know, I am trying to be very diligent in trying
to
get the cost
down. Too diligent is all my worry.
I know, and I could do that, but
you didn't short yourself.
It's where that bake sale will come in.
In your spare time.
Dan was pointing out that as part of the county, there's a public property committee, so a lot of times. Some of these requests are not—they're not put into budgets. They're actually put into the public property budget. So, a department says, "Oh, I need a copy machine, so I'm going to go to public property and keep it out of my budget." That's not how I have operated in the past. I usually try to get some of that out of the existing budget and grant funds if I can. So, I've not been to public property ever since I've been here.
That's a good thing. I was going to say, Dan could give guidance on that if we needed to do something like that.
The last public property meeting that I was at, I motioned to absolve the committee. That's going away. Never to be seen again.
So there's our guidance right there.
Okay.
Yeah. We also, we were able to update some computers last year, so we're pretty good on that.
Mm-hmm.
What else did we do, Courtney? Because there was a couple things. So we've got our computers updated.
We got the projector and
we got that out of those funds too. So we really did try to get, you know, because we had some staff turnover last year in the NERC budget, we had some extra money, and so we were able to get as much out of there as we could. And I think we did a really good job at that.
Accountability's there that I don't think we worry about with the NERC now.
Okay. So move ahead with the.
Move ahead with your guidance, and then we'll look to review and approve for next meeting.
And I'll let you know when I get that final quote back. So, and again, this is all contingent upon.
Right.
Tornado doesn't hit the building next month, and we're in trouble. So.
Vehicle disposal or repair.
Vehicle disposal. Okay, so we've got. One taxi, silver taxi, sitting out there that I've got state approval to dispose of, so we'll be getting rid of that. Our other taxi, before we got the new taxi, we did get a new taxi. Our other taxi bit the dust and has some transmission problems. That we know of for sure. We don't know of the other. Maybe there could be further issues. It is literally sitting at Pink's, and I need to get it out of there.
How old is it?
It is 2010, I believe.
What's 8 years old?
No, I take that back. It's 10 years old, so I think it's 2008. I need to check on that, but I know I'm almost positive it's 10 years old.
You
I had that
the
in my head.
Is at all? Probably
not. It's
over 200?
No, I don't think so. But it's probably over 150, I think.
That are runnable, do you sell them?
I've never done this.
That's what we do with all squad cars. They all get sold. I mean, if they run, and we might get $250, $300 for them. We had one that was an old Jeep. We get $1,500 for it.
Right. And what I've
we sell them.
Found out is there is like a public auction site or something that you could.
They
put
just
on
do
that,
a sealed
so
bid. They come in, and whoever has the highest bid gets it.
We have to get state approval because of them involved with grant funds. We have to get state to release them. Because technically they've got money in them. I'm not sure, and I really just brought this to you guys as kind of just a discussion point. I'm not sure what we're going to do with it. It's like, do we want to put that much money into it when we've had numerous repairs? I mean, in the last couple of years, we've had probably $3,000 or $4,000 of repairs.
What if we sold it and then took the funds and put it into a repair fund for the new tax?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of feel like it's not worth
it. We do our city trucks, everything. Everything gets sold.
The other thing is the bus. We have the one of the bigger buses, the lift doesn't work in. Again, it is quite old.
Yeah.
And I think that's time to go to. We're just not, we don't need four buses.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're not running near that amount. And if we are going to get a bus in the future, I'm looking at a smaller bus that wouldn't even require a CDL.
See, if Iowa County would chip in on it.
Yeah.
Locked you right into that one.
So my feeling is that we will probably be looking at disposing those. I just, you know, I wanted to make sure. And yes, when we would look at selling them or doing whatever it takes. So if we can't get them, if for some reason we don't get a buyer, somebody buy it, just take it to recycle.
They will.
You know.
Well, with transmission issues, it still operates. It still goes forward. And
no. It's locked.
It doesn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, that one's probably not going to sell real
Two
good.
Of them are locked.
Again, West End. Or
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Right. Price Although money. I've had a couple of people say, you know, I'd buy it and tinker with it if I could get it for,
oh, sure,
you know. So I talked to Bob a little bit because I don't know what the county's procedure is in that. So I would follow whatever the county's procedure is.
When liability issues are being relevant.
Yeah, that's.
So are we looking for a motion to dispose of?
I don't really need a motion. I just sort of wanted to let you know that I've got these vehicles sitting out there, and if you don't have an issue with me putting in for disposal, we'll do that. So I don't think we have to have a lot more updates on that because that's what we're doing. On the next one, I printed this out really badly, and I didn't have time this morning to fix it. So this is kind of weird. So you have this, and then you have on the back side this. I apologize, but, you know, when you do things, when you do things late at night and you're not really very adept in Excel, you just do the best you can. That's how it comes out. One of the things that on our specialized, if you notice on our finance report, we came up about 1660 short in our specialized. We typically make money on our specialized or broke even. But we came up a little short. It really wasn't a problem because I had 8521 funds freed up because of the busing issue. So so we were able to cover it without any issues. But the county did raise my driver rates, my driver wages, with the new wage study. So this is going to continue to be an ongoing issue. So this was a transportation cost tool developed by the state. So our total expenses just for that wheelchair van, when you include everything, were $28,430. And our revenue, which I guess I don't have on here, was actually like $26,600 or something like that. It was about $1,660 short. So I did this cost tool. I thought, well, I'm gonna use this. I have not used it in the past. So I pulled it up and used it, and it showed what our cost per vehicle mile is. Typically what we are doing with the wheelchair van in the past is we have charged an hourly rate of $15 an hour and a setup fee of $12 an hour, and then the IRS rate. While we were close, we were a little short this year. So if you look at this, the cost per vehicle mile is about $141. So on this back side, I did what our current rates are and then kind of what it would be with that $141. When I looked at most of the mileage, our typical trip is about the 96 miles in 3 hours. So that's what our reimbursement is currently for that. If you take the actual 141, it's 135. If we still went with the setup fee, it would be 147, which means then we'd actually be getting 153. So who uses this? We have private pay consumers that use it, that just, you know, they need to get grandma to a wedding or a funeral or something like that, and they may use it. We also have the IRIS agency uses it from one of their members. So in that case, it's a budget that they use to provide this transportation, and that's a pretty regular route that we do for them. We also have family care, which is Inclusa or My Choice or Care Wisconsin. That books it as well.
So these are the rates that you would charge based on the mileage for the individuals with the different examples?
Yes. So, and I wanted to kind of give you, I just looked at over the course of the last year, mostly we probably did 96-mile routes because we have a very steady one. Occasionally we've done 151-mile one that was 5 hours of the driver's time, and then we did a really long one that was 272 miles in 9 hours. That's not normal. That's not, but...
And this is for the...
Specialized the wheelchair van.
The wheelchair van.
Mm-hmm. So I think we need to increase the rates because I think especially in terms of the agencies that are using us, you know, we should be charging our costs. My question, I guess, is do we want to keep the setup fee? The setup fee provides us with a little bit of cushion. It does take some setup on Mariah's part. Mm-hmm. She's got to make sure that we've got a driver, you know, find a driver.
Well, then, we would want to keep it.
And,
it's administrative cost, at the very least.
Yeah. And do the billing.
Yeah. Probably come up short on that anyway.
So do we want to look at just doing it on, in the, like I said, in the past, we've never done it on just the cost per mile.
You're talking about all together? Like, was it a flat fee before?
It was $15 an hour to cover the cost of the driver, but see, now my driver wages went up to $14.09.
Oh, I see.
They were,
so instead of,
before they were like at $11.91.
A mile.
Yeah. So before it was the IRS rate of 54, well, right now, currently, it's the IRS rate of, 54.5 cents, $15 an hour, and a $12 setup fee.
So if somebody goes 96 miles and they keep the driver for 8 hours, do we come out ahead or behind in something like that? So eight times, was it?
I didn't do the math on that one, but we can. I mean, the typical route that we do the most of is this 96 miles in 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And if you look at, it comes out to 109.32, but if you look at, if you determine the 141 is the true cost is 135, so we are behind.
What would we need to do to, again, get to balance to, if we're going to miss a little high?
I think we go with the per mile rate. I think the per mile rate covers us for the most part better. Because as you see, with the current rate,
so
as we do more miles and more hours, we get less per mile.
The proposal would be to move the mileage rate from 114 a mile to 153-ish.
I think it would
actually, it's changing the rate.
It would be changing the whole rate structure from the $15 an hour and the IRS rate to a $1.41 rate plus a setup fee of $12. Now, I want to tell you, I talked to Green County the other day, and their wheelchair van rate is $3.45 a mile.
Oh, wow.
Now, they say that's because they don't have very many riders, and I'm thinking that's because it's $3.45 a mile. That's expensive, you know.
Yeah, that's true, too.
So they're going to make money, not
we have,
to provide a service.
We have a, you know, we do a, I mean, if you can see, we've done 20,000, you know, we've went over 20,000 miles. We've done 575 rides, so that's 571 rides. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
But I think we need to, this transportation cost tool is very similar to what we do for the meal cost tool, and we haven't done it. It just kind of, they put it out there last year, and I didn't have time, but so I did it this year, and we'll do it on the other programs too. But I think especially for the wheelchair van, I've been watching it very closely all 2017, and I'm like, oh, we might come out okay, we might be a little bit short, and we did end up a little bit short.
So what happens if somebody brings the wheelchair van back after 3 hours? Do you charge an extra $15 an hour To cover the driver's cost?
I think she probably bills them on that quarter of an hour or whatever it is. I
and the reason I ask is because
if it's
right now they have incentive to bring it back within a certain time.
Well, it's our driver, so they have it. It's not...
It's not drove by anybody else. It's
But I see what you're saying. If they're contracting...
But if you have an hourly employee sitting there for 8 hours, then your mileage rate could get totally wiped out.
Typically, it's whatever, you know... Like our the one participant that we have that's using it on a regular basis is leaving from home every morning and going to a what do you want to call it? Community services job. And back home again. His guardian does not want him riding on a big bus. It doesn't fit his needs. So they use our wheelchair man to transport.
Would it be feasible then to say for a 96 mile journey, this is your cost, unless you go over a certain amount of time, and then you're billed per hour of this rate? Because the reason I ask is because that way they still have the incentive to get it back. You're still within the normal hourly rate that you expect to pay the driver. And then that way, if they decide, you know what, we're okay with keeping it for an all-day trip, then you're not paying a driver for 8 hours and losing everything that you had on mileage for the van.
I see your point.
This way, they have incentive to bring it back, and you mitigate your cost for an hourly employee.
So let me go back and do the math on that a little bit and see what we
can just
say,
you know, this is
there.
The cost for 3 hours or 5 hours or whatever you think is reasonable per what you see in history. And then that way they know that if I bring it back a certain time, I have no charge. This is my mileage rate, and we're good. But if they decide, you know what, I'm going to bring it back a couple hours late, then we don't lose $30 on a driver.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I just booked with a mover across country, so I'm thinking about all this stuff.
Well, and when this first started, it really, I don't know that we knew we were going to have this this kind of response to it, but it's grown because if you're looking at a paratransit provider elsewhere, it's quite expensive. So, let me look at that, and we can kind of see on that. Or do you want to stick with, you know, the mileage, and upping the rate per driver too? I mean, we can up the cost per hour to.
Personally, I think there's a balance there. I mean, we don't want to lose any money on it because we don't want to eat into funds that could go other places.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But we also don't want to gouge anybody who might need to use the van.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I think the mileage rate with a certain amount of time that you know would be covered, no problem, is perfectly reasonable. But then if they decide to keep it, then they'd be a little bit
extra.
Yeah,
right.
Makes sense.
Okay. I will take a look at that and bring it back. I don't think it's anything that we have to necessarily act on today, but I will... kind of do the math and see what I think is appropriate for that and kind of figure out where that needs to be.
All right. Approval of vouchers.
I did give you February and January's just because I didn't have it, so...
Because if you're not tired enough, we'll make you look at a couple months worth.
I didn't have any
issues. Did we have anything on...
There shouldn't be... January, you still might see a couple of expenses that were actually paid out in December, but... I mean, came out of the December budget 2017, but got paid in January, but... There shouldn't be anything.
Yeah, I don't see anything.
Mark, will I move to approve the agenda or the vouchers?
I'll second it.
All approve?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. And let's see. The financial report.
I don't have
it. Oh, here.
There was an agent report attached to it.
We want to look at the expense or revenue?
What's that? I was looking at finance. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you. Obviously, we're just starting a new year, so we should be good. And we did come in under budget in 2017, too. I think I updated you on that a little bit in January, but... we did not dip into your levy that we thought we would. We were pretty close on some things, but I can bring up an updated one. I think we finally got all of our 2017 in. We just got our last DOT payment in March, so they're not exactly...
They're on the ball. Huh?
They're not very speedy with that sometimes, so... And I don't think there's anything unusual in any of these expenses. Is there, Courtney, that you can think of? I think it's pretty much from business
as
usual.
I think so, yeah.
I'll move to approve the financial report.
I'll second them.
All approve?
Aye.
Aye.
Oppose? All right.
I should point out in here, you're going to see it on under meals. We used to have just one category meals. Now we have congregate and home delivered, and that was... we needed to split those wages out. The state wanted us to do that, so you will see that split out from now on.
We have, under reports, we have nutrition planning
committee. Yeah, I stuck that on
so
twice.
So I'm going to skip that because I'm
apologize.
Sure everybody wants to hear me talk again.
My
and
report is in writing, and I won't... we have a new, so we hired Kevin Percival as our bus driver. He was our, we just hired him for a food van driver, but we are now going to put Rowland into the food van driver, and Kevin is going to drive bus for us, which is lovely and saved me a lot. We did get $3,000 in MIPA funding, which is always good news because it's extra money. And it basically covers a lot of the things we already do. So it's covering our welcome to Medicare presentations, the extra staff time involved in that. MIPA is basically looking at some of the Medicare options that would help somebody who's low income. So we're just kind of doing a lot of marketing on that right now for that. A lot of the stuff you've seen, so I'm not going to repeat it in here. End of February, March is just crazy for reports. So all the transportation, the last quarter reports are due, and then the annual reports are due, and I feel like I've been doing nothing but transportation numbers for, like, weeks now. But they are all done, and it's taken me about 3 years to figure out DOT's different funding streams and then DOT's staff, because apparently every time a new year comes by, I think the DOT like moves everybody to a different position because it's just crazy.
Yeah,
they do.
DNR is even worse.
Is it?
Every time I call, it don't work here anymore.
I'm like, oh my goodness, where are these? Mariah did attend a meeting for me in Madison. It's a statewide grant with several counties. I don't even know how many involved. But anyway, it's mobility services for all Americans. And it's proposing a plan for a regional travel management coordination center, if that's not a mouthful, to coordinate human services transportation for older adults, veterans, persons with disabilities, that sort of thing. They're looking at using some technology software to be able to maybe coordinate better. So if I've got somebody going to Madison and somebody in Iowa County, for instance, needs to go to Madison, that somehow we can coordinate that. I don't know where that's all going to end up, but it's interesting anyway. And, Well, we have a dementia care specialist on staff now. Mary Mezra actually did the dementia-friendly training to Basketball Pharmacy because our dementia care specialist had some family issues at that time. So we are kicking off a dementia-friendly initiative back in Basketball. We had started it quite a while ago with Whitney, and then Whitney left, and it was put on hold. So we are working on that. A lot of construction meetings. New taxi was delivered, so you'll see that out and about. We've got to get signage on it, and... interestingly enough, we get all these delivery documents that have to be filled out, and I have to verify that, you know, the majority of parts were made in the USA and all these things, even though the state procured the vehicle.
Wow.
It's crazy.
You look at that vehicle, you'd be surprised how many parts in that vehicle were not made in the U.S.
Right. Yes,
definitely.
But the,
assembled here.
The state, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. The state procures the vehicle, so I'm like, why do I have to fill this out? Yeah. You procured it. If you didn't do it correctly, is it my fault? Yeah.
Both
so
came from the Department of Redundancy Department.
Yeah.
Yes. So I am still waiting on the approval of those delivery documents because I can't drive the van until.
Oh, jeez.
And luckily, I asked that question because we've never purchased a van. Since I've been here, I've never done this. So I'm like, I'm assuming we can, like, the van's good to go, though, right? It's been inspected. We've got, you know, we've got insurance. We've got it tied. No. I'm like, oh, well, it's a good thing I asked that because I would have had it on the road the very next day. But, interesting. The other thing that is coming up that I would like to make you aware of is the Southwestern Regional Transit team that I sit on, which has Green, Iowa, Lafayette, Grant, and Richland counties, not Crawford, I think. The state requires a regional coordination plan every 5 years. We're ending the five-year plan. And so we have to have a public forum. We are working with regional planning. Southwest Regional Planning Commission is part of this as well. And they facilitate our meetings. So we will be having a public forum on that. It was scheduled for May 16th, and of course that was Aging Advocacy Day. I was going to do it after this meeting, thinking I could bank on that. But we have changed the date on that, and I don't know what it is right now. It is May...
something.
I want to say May 14th. I will grab my calendar before we're done here. It is after the... trying to get board members there, so I planned it after the Social Services Board meeting because they have 8 board members that are at that one, so I thought. But we do have to get input in on transportation needs, gaps, and services. So we will be sending that out to a lot of providers, a lot of people trying to get interest to come and be a part of that. We also have to go over the old goals, which I didn't have anything to do with, and to be quite honest, I didn't. I wasn't really supportive of them very well, but we will do what we can do with those. And then we'll work on new goals for the next 5 years. I think 5 years is a lot in transportation. A lot of things can change. Everybody sitting around the transit team, except for about 2 people, have changed at that table in 5 years. So that,
you know, along those lines, I'm on something called DMATS, Dubuque Metropolitan Area Transportation Group Committee. And by 2021, which is 3 years, they plan on having lanes in all of the major thoroughfares for autonomous cars.
Really?
What year?
2021.
21.
Oh. In Dubuque?
In Dubuque.
Where it's so crowded now?
Yeah, I don't know.
The way some of those people drive, they'd be safer.
I would agree with that. So, but.
And I'm one of those drivers.
It's upon us, the era of the driverless car.
I know. I don't know how I feel about that.
Robots are going to take over the world.
That could change our whole transportation thing, though, too, because if people don't have that transportation barrier.
Five-year era, and then 3, we're going to have, like you say, the program, and this is all part of the presentation, was the idea of a vehicle ownership will probably, you know, it would be, you know, this group owns a vehicle, and so it dispatches me. Back in the day when I started at 5, I'd, you know, maybe be the first user, so it takes me to work at 5 o'clock, and then it goes back on its trail, picks up the next person that's programmed in, it be work at 6, and then, you know. But again, the other side of that is, that doesn't work is, you know, I didn't have any set time off. It wasn't, I couldn't say I'm going to, like, shift ends at 2:30, but I might not leave until 5 o'clock, so that ain't going to make much good that I can't have it sitting in front of my
place. Yeah.
So your next vehicle or your next taxi might be perfect.
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
It's
the next taxi. I mean, you might dispatch it to do this, this, and this, and make the rounds, and
That'd be crazy. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Start out with a second route, and then the next step would be going online and scheduling your trip individually.
That's just bizarre. Then I was reading how they will program that, they will have to program, because at some point accidents still happen with these cars, and they'll have to program them to how to make who lives and who dies. I read a long article on it. It was quite interesting, and I'm like, okay, I didn't really take that into consideration. How is my car programmed?
Watch a movie called iRobot.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. It's about partly about that.
Like, it's that kind of the old scenario you used to have when you were in team building. You know, you got everybody in the boat, and who's going to live, who's going to die? And I never did like that. So yeah, I don't know that I want my car to sign that for me. It truly, in 5 years, could be an entirely different ballgame here. So it is going to be interesting. But if you can attend it, I will be sending flyers out to all of you as well. And Steve, especially if you've got some people down there, because I know people have been looking at maybe extra taxi services or things like that, if you would encourage them to come. It is going to be at 11 o'clock at the admin building on that day. We will provide a light lunch to, you know.
Well, questions had just been asked. Is an interest.
Yeah.
And that because they, you know, they would like more taxi services than what they've got, you know, so, yeah.
So, I, you know, like I said, I will get it out there, and we do want some participation, and I want it to be participation from all of the county, not just a certain segment of it, so that would be nice. So, yes, we will get that. But otherwise, I mean, it has just been incredibly busy here. We've got a new INAM board. Her name is Stephanie Rickert. She's gotten through all the orientation stuff, and she's out doing home visits. She's great. She's going to be a great asset to our team. It's just everybody has been really busy, but getting along very well. It's been really working out really nicely. So it's I'm seeing a lot of morale boosting going around, and I'm really happy about that.
How many employees then in the ADRC?
In this ADRC?
How many people work for you?
We've got 10 in the office. We've got 10 meal site managers.
Okay, so just the office staff.
In here. Yes, 10. Yes, 10. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And actually, we used to have an extra INA when I came on board, and we didn't refill that position.
Most everybody from Lancaster, Fenimore, Boscobel,
but mostly Fenimore.
A lot of Fenimore.
I don't think we've got anybody from Lancaster. Mm-hmm. Stitzer, Platteville, mostly. Livingston.
Yep,
that's about it. I'd like somebody from Lancaster on those bad weather days.
Yeah.
Because instead I'm sitting here at the end of the day, I try to get everybody out of here, and then I'm like, oh. We had a really bad weather day the last storm, and so that's always an issue.
You guys up north,
we had some bad. It was one of the dicier rides home I've had in a very long time, so I did not enjoy it. And we have to be open till 4:30, so it's kind of a so. And it just seemed to get worse in the last hour of work, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was like, so we did get people on the roads as early as we can. Ruth and I hung out till 4:30 and then headed for home. But so
you can't
that's
have
always a problem.
Inclement weather policy or anything? The
county does not have one. Although I have threatened in the past that I'm going to do what I got to do if it's bad.
It would certainly.
So did anybody come in? Did you have customers?
Well, of course, we had 2 phone calls at 4:25 that day.
But the phones can't roll to your.
They don't at this point, no.
But then, under the new building, maybe they
I'm hoping that we can do something with that.
It's kind of insane.
And it was one of those, you know, we'd been kind of monitoring it all day, and it literally did take a turn for the worse at about 3:30, right towards the end. So finally at about 10, I think it was probably about 10 after 4, I just said to staff, just go, just get on the roads and go. Ruth is in Stitzer, which is still on a county road, but... She stayed. She and I both then did stay in, and but it was not good. It was like I said, it was one of the worst. I've driven on roads for a long time. So
well, that'll be nice when you're all together. If you do need to stay over because the inclement weather, the jail pod will have.
Yeah.
Oh,
geez. Well, I'll tell you what. I'd be more inclined to pull up a chair and sleep in the new building than I would here. I'm not staying here.
There
are noises in this building that cannot be explained sometimes, and I don't.
Urchin Manor.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh gosh, yeah. I'm willing to work late, but I'm not willing to stay overnight. So, gets a little spooky in here after dark. So.
So are we?
You work here?
Yes.
Like the elevator comes down, and then nobody comes out. And it's like, I think I'm the only one in the building, so who's using the elevator? Yeah.
So that's for the director's report then?
Yeah.
Okay. The spooky director. Program reports?
You've got a copy of those. Again, I think things are doing good. Our INA are busy. Everybody's been pretty busy. Elder benefits usually kind of, you know, we get Part D and then it slows down a little bit there. But with the MIPA money, we're doing some a little bit there. Disability cases actually slowed down this year because I actually got regional to give us another half disability person out of Lafayette County to come. And as soon as we did that, then the cases backed off. So we have Ann coming when we need her to come, but... we still have that ability. So, but information and assistance was really very, very busy in December and January and February. And, of course, we only had two INA. So they were running a lot. We do by far with three INA, we do the most contacts within the region by far. Again, those are things in the future that I think we'll need to be looking at. And again, the rides, as always, are going well. So we do a lot of transports. Bus will get back on board. Obviously, we're not doing as many with the bus because we've been off for a while. But we're going to try to get that figured out, and we'll be back on board. So I think we're moving along in the right direction.
Any questions? Approval for that or anything?
No.
Okay.
Woo! We made it!
Yeah, we need a motion to adjourn.
I'll still move.
I'll second it.
All right, Arnold and Dave. All approve?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, we are adjourned.
Is this real time or
it
wrong
is.
Time?
It's 11 o'clock.
So I got an hour. Yep. Do you want to shut that off?